Thanks for downloading this episode of the Simcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by searching for the Simcast wherever they get their podcasts. The Simcast on RS1.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode... it's a good one. It's a good one. 24.
I've always known as 24.
Yeah.
Or that's... other languages are available.
That's good.
Actually, that is a good number, actually. I agree with you.
Especially in June. Oh, it's not June anymore, is it? It's July.
Yeah. Back. Literally, oh, well. Just. No, I'm just happy. The inner Jeff Gordon fan in me is happy. So...
I was happy because this is the Le Mans show that has nothing about Le Mans. If only the Americans had show 24, then they could have done this. They could have done the Le Mans thing. Oh well. Sorry.
Damn it, we should have started a week later.
sorry, folks. We don't have a test track for you. But in beautiful, crisp audio, we are here. I'm Matt Hunter, as ever, and alongside me is Jordan. Hello, Jordan.
Hello.
How are you this week? Sticky?
Sorry? No. Well, how rude.
Well, because I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but my part of the world, it is humid.
It's not bad up here. That's why I was so confused as to what you were talking about.
Yeah, sticky, or as Sarah Millican likes to say, claggy.
Claggy. That's a great word, actually.
It's a brilliant word.
That is one of my favourite words. Up there with coupon. Don't know why. Coupon. I just like the word. Yeah, it's a good word.
Yeah, but coupons get you free things. Claggy gets you an attack by talcum powder. Attacked by talcum powder.
I don't think anyone has ever been attacked by talcum powder.
I'm sure some people have been attacked by... I'm sure parents have attacked their kids with talcum powder at various stages through history.
I don't think I've ever heard a child like getting onto social services and saying they attacked me with talcum powder. I don't think that's a thing.
Blinded by the talc.
Good lord.
Oh dear. If you're in, this is Simcast. Hello, I'm Matt Hunter. We've said that already. You can get in touch with us. Good God, why would you want to do that? On Twitter at Simcast Radio using the hashtag Simcast RSL. We are here on RS1 as ever. Yes, 6 months into being Simcast.
Jesus, that's a point. God, where did the time go?
It's gone quite quick, hasn't it? 24 weeks we've done this.
Well, now that I think now that we've been doing it weekly.
Therapy, I know that much, but...
Well, that's true, yeah. I'm sure it'll be 2 weeks. I think now that we've been doing it for, like, weekly for a long time now, it just makes it... go so much quicker. Like it was only about a year ago that we started doing it weekly or something like that, and it was before can you imagine trying to cram an entire month's worth of news into an hour these days?
No.
How did we do it?
Much less banter.
Yes. It was probably better.
It was probably
100%. Yeah, much less riffing.
2 seconds, dear listen. I'm just going to enjoy a nice British cup of tea.
He is as well. He actually is.
Yeah. No. No cider today. This is a school night.
I think you're long past school, mate.
Yeah, it's true. Yes, and I'm not making fun of poor girls on social media. So.
I wasn't going to mention that, but
I felt obliged.
Yeah.
Aren't you glad that we belong to our sports that don't do such things?
Yes.
Most I do is take the Mickey out. I need to say something else. Take the Mickey out of players who are watching who for some ungodly reason decide to dye their hair bright pink.
Hey, don't knock it till you try it.
Aaron Hinckley, what are you thinking, mate? Anyway,
I think you could pull it off.
No, I really can't. It's bad.
That's
enough
a bet that I'm willing to enter.
It's bad enough I'm two tone as it is. Dark hair and ginger beard. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyone who saw me at Le Mans in 17, yeah, scary.
Everyone saw you.
No, everyone probably heard me. Wow! Wow!
And that was just the engines.
Pretty much. What do you mean I can't sleep here? So there's a show. We should do this. There's a show, isn't there?
We do occasionally talk about sim racing.
All right, Ben. firstly, congratulations on navigating the Red Bull Ring in a new and an exciting way that isn't, in fact, it's still probably better than Nikita Mazepin.
Well, I didn't spin, so that says enough. Yes. For anyone who might not have seen, as the latest extension to me trying to play racing games in the weirdest way possible, you had the Thomas the Tank Engine controller, now Guitar Hero controllers. Nothing is sacred.
To Adrian Michael Reese, who basically just said, why don't you do it with a Morse code machine?
Or Dave Alcock as well on Twitter recommended that I do it with a dance pad.
Oh my.
Which is a bloody brilliant idea.
Mr. Hindoff himself has also suggested that would be a good idea.
How much are they?
How much are they? He's looking.
15 quid. Speaking 10 quid. I could save up to 10% if I buy multiple of them. Who's buying multiple dance mats?
So. Someone who's trying to pull off Riverdance or something like that. I guess. Can you imagine?
Michael Flatley.
How long is it? Mr. M. Flatley. In brackets, Lord of the Dance.
Yeah, yeah. It's not Mr. Lord of the Dance.
Lord Flatley. That's Lord Flatley to you, sir. He's just like, you walk into his front room, there's like a line of like 20 Xboxes with a dance mat in front of them, all perfectly timed up in sequence.
Excellent.
Ready the pipes.
So tune in in a couple of weeks' time if I do order one of those.
I was actually thinking, what was the one I was going to suggest? It technically wasn't a suggestion for you, it was just general. You know how we've talked about various controllers and how even though we all have steering, you and I both have steering wheels for our racing exploits, I'm pretty certain you're the same. We both use a pad for bike games.
Yes, whenever I subject myself to the torture that is me playing a bike game. Not that I don't enjoy it, I just suck.
Dear Fanatec, Thrustmaster, maybe not Logitech, come up with something for bikes.
I'm sorry, but if the amusement arcades at Clacton can have a motorbike game where you get on a bike and you tilt it,
Sega's Isle of Man TT or Castrol Honda or
anything like that. If they can have it, why isn't there a souped-up version available on the market somewhere?
I mean, I'm not being funny. There isn't many people that can fit a full motorbike replica in their house.
So we know there are some massive enthusiasts when it comes to sim racing. I'm sure there would be people that would buy it.
On tonight's news, divorces up massively in the southeast of England.
So us like car based sim racers wear gloves and stuff like that to protect the wheel. Are they going to wear levers?
In this weather, really?
I would consider wearing a helmet in case I fell off the bloody thing.
I tell you what, you'd lose a ton of weight.
Yeah, yeah. Much more than I'm getting here. Like,
speak for yourself. Actually, no, not speak. No.
Oh, actually, and I'm not even going to be using a steering wheel from now on. It's just Guitar Hero controllers from henceforth. So,
Bill and Ted's Excellent Grand Prix.
Excellent.
Exactly.
See what I did?
Yeah, yeah. Good lord. Yeah, so sim racing news. Cause,
sim racing, yeah. Yeah. God. For those of you who prefer to do your sim racing with a wheel rather than a guitar, what have we got this week?
So this midweek, if it has wheels and they keep score, someone does this. If it has wheels, a gamepad, a stolen arcade machine from Clacton, and or dance mat. let's not beat around the bush.
And if it comes from the Isle of Sodor, I nearly said Mordor. That's a different thing. Now, Thomas the Tank Engine would be a lot different if we were from the Isle of Mordor. That'd be great. Just instead of a face on the front, it's Sauron's eye.
Oh,
someone's
God.
Got to have made that. Yes, sim racing. for the third time.
R-Factor 2, should we start there?
Yes, because there's quite a bit of R-Factor 2.
There's a couple of bits of R-Factor, because conveniently everybody seems to have actually released a reasonable amount, we'll say the famous last words, released a reasonable amount of news before the show airs.
Yeah, there's quite a lot, which means we're definitely missing something huge.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, I am always suspicious when this happens.
Right, they've just gone off air, push the button. Yes,
those Fanatec fans who were complaining that they only did a Bentley wheel, here's your Mercedes replica now.
Oh, I'd love that. That'd be great.
They actually hinted at it, but
let's not tempt fate.
Let's not.
Tune into Twitter tomorrow. But yes, R-Factor 2, a fair bit of content that's actually released in the last week or so, predictably just after last week's show.
Yeah.
The first of which being a new paid track, which is the Autodromo Nazionale di Monza, which I'm always happy to see because Monza is superb.
Me too.
It's one of those tracks that I was kind of surprised wasn't in the game already.
Nice pictures of the two Lesbos there.
And we're off the air.
hey, they said it on Top Gear and it was hilarious. Anyway, yes.
I was about to say I've seen those corners in real life, but after you said that, I don't think...
Oh, I forgot you went there.
Yeah.
Oh, you lucky son.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And the sad thing was, of course, I picked the weekend. There's no bloody racing going on, only a track day. But nevertheless,
God.
Still good. Still good. Monza's one of the rare places, though, that even if there's nothing turning, it's still beautiful. It's like Alton Park.
Yeah,
you know, it's a nice enough place to be where you don't even need a car to be going around.
Yeah, I have to say, I feel the same about Castlecombe.
Yes, Cadwell as well.
Wiscombe Hill Climb.
Hill Climb, that's just reminded me. Goodwood's in a couple of weeks.
Yes, yeah, actually happening as well by the sounds of it.
And I'll actually be going.
You better actually see if you can get some sound bites from people.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I believe there is several sim racing things going on there as well. So.
Almost certainly. So, yeah.
We might have an in-person segment of the show in a couple of weeks. I'm good with it. But anyway, R-Factor 2, Monza. Obviously, I've had a brief go at Monza on R-Factor 2. And as you would expect from R-Factor 2, it's excellent. Or, as you would expect, laser scanned, very high detail.
How does it marry up to the ACC version?
See, I haven't done... It's been a while since I played ACC, actually, because of the whole GT thing, but I would... Oh, that's a very good question. From memory, I think they're very similar.
I mean, they should be, because they're both laser scanned.
Yeah, but that is funny that, like, two different laser scans can sometimes... Just every... A tiny little difference here or there somewhere.
Yeah.
Strange how that happens. And then you get F1 2020's versions of tracks, which are just wrong. Monza, paid track. Go get it if you're a fan of it on R-Factor 2. The other bit of content that was released last week, so just after the show, was free content and excellent content. The BMW M4 Class 1, which is essentially... what would have been BMW's 2021 DTM car had the DTM regulations stayed as they were prior to the switch to GT3. This is really interesting, actually, because this car was made in with the actual data conducted by BMW to make the car. So because obviously it isn't on the racetrack this year, there's nothing they can do with it. So they just basically said to R-Factor 2, here, this is yours, do with it as you wish. And it's superb, actually. I've driven that as well. It's fantastic.
I can see a series happening with that.
Yes. Actually, we might have something on that. I'm not too sure whether they've announced that yet, but we'll touch on that in a minute. In terms of comparing it, like you just asked about comparing Monza from ACC to this game, comparing this DTM car to the most recent DTM cars in Race Room,
yeah,
they're exactly the same. And that's quite impressive for Race Room, because I doubt that they had exactly the same level of an amount of data as Studio 397 had with this one. So that they feel exactly the same, and by that I mean awesome after a couple of laps if you haven't put it in the barriers, because it's a bit sketchy. I do love DTM though, so I was really delighted to see this, and it's free. I did not expect them to release a car that's this excellent for free. No excuse.
I maintain that one of the really good things, one of the best things about, I know we're talking about R-Factor 2, but one of the best things about Race Room is touring cars content, and the DTM in that is just so good.
Really,
I've done so many races in DTM, and I absolutely love it. WTCR is excellent as well, don't get me wrong, but
Race Room really does shine with the TCR content and with touring cars in general. I mean, I know you know how much I am kind of tired of GT racing.
Yeah.
And you could be forgiven to say that the DTM and GTs were quite similar in terms of you know, looks and everything, but there's something about the way the DTM cars drove that was excellent. It just makes me even more sad that it's gone, basically, because, you know, it's just another GT3 series
did
now.
You,
but
did you watch it? I was going to say, did you watch any of the
I did. I did.
Neuer DTM.
Neuer. What, is the footballer in it? Yes, I did watch it, and I can't help but feel that it's lost a little something.
Yeah, I did. I looked. The thing is, because there were so many familiar teams there from other GT series, I was literally watching it just going, this is just a small GT field.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, that, what GT racing usually has going for it is big grids.
Yeah,
it wasn't even that.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It was really cool to see Alex Albon do actually really quite well.
And his team. And Liam Lawson as well, considering
his teammate actually win.
Yeah, and considering he hadn't, I don't believe he's done much tin top racing. No. Neither has Albon.
No,
but
in fact, he'd hardly done any
testing. Impressive to see some of the different people in there, but yeah, I can't help but feel the spectacle of DTM has kind of been lost a little bit.
I was hoping it was going to be like the old was it the ITC from back when it was basically GT versions of the Calibra and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
And I thought it was going to be like that. I thought it was going to be like they would just delimit all the GT3s and go, have at it, lads.
They need to do something different with it. If they're going to call it DTM, I feel like they need to distinguish it a little bit more
especially as they already have ADAC GT Masters.
Yeah, exactly. What's the point in having both of them?
No, there isn't.
So they've got to do something different.
Yeah. Anyway, sim racing.
Yeah, sim racing for the fourth time.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Simcast, where we really love tangents.
But that was at least a motorsport-related one. It's not like it's not like we were talking about
the knitting podcast or something. I don't know.
There's a pigeon sat on my bloody top of my chimney at the moment.
Wow, we're really stretching to new limits. R-Factor 2 news. So yeah, that was the content that released last week. And then yesterday, R-Factor 2 released the June 2021 roadmap. And with it, they announced two new cars. One that's arrived today, and another that's not going to arrive for a little bit longer, but still cool that it's coming. The one that's arrived today, I'm very, very excited about, is the new Formula Pro.
That is stunning. I know
it's stunning. Money, basically, wow. The easiest way to describe it is it looks very heavily inspired from the 2022 Formula One regulations. However, yes. from the naked eye and having not driven it yet, it does look to be smaller and narrower, which is also what F1 should be doing, but aren't. very inspired by the 2022 Formula One regs. The only difference being, yes, it's got a halo, but it does have a very nice sounding engine that I think's a V10.
That's a V10.
Yeah. I couldn't decide.
All day long, that is a V10.
And it is gorgeous. 800 brake horsepower in this car, 680 kilograms.
It's got the low profile tyres as well, so it really is. Going...
Yes, I hadn't noticed that. And yeah. It's the low profile tyres, we're trying not to get onto another tangent, but both in sim and in real life. The low profile tyres are something you don't really notice, but when you do notice them, you're like, yeah, they look much better.
They do, especially when you think A1 GP, good God. Especially when you think Formula E has been running them since it started.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's why I've stopped noticing them, to be honest.
When the car's stationary, all the tyres are not, in fact, on the vehicle. It's quite jarring. But when they're on the car and the whole car is moving, it's fine.
It does look better.
Absolutely fine. Even more so now we've actually seen a 2022 car now.
Well, yeah, but not that we're meant to have.
No, probably not meant to have, no. But that I can't remember what the source was. Someone put a tweet out about it. Ivory tweeted
someone
it.
Someone who's probably lost their job now.
That is... I'm going to start watching Formula 1 again if that's what the cars end up looking like.
Yeah.
Because we finally got rid of the knob noses. They've gone at last. There are no more dodgy noses in Formula 1.
And away from the aesthetics as well, I mean, it just sounds so encouraging with, you know, the percentage less aerodynamic output from the back of the cars and the fact they're focusing a bit more on ground effect. It fingers crossed, it actually sounds like Formula 1 could be getting better. And considering this year is really good,
can we
imagine what next year's going to be like?
It's because we've reached a point of convergence. There's been so little development now. Everybody's reached that point where the cars are basically... more or less the same.
Always happens.
Which is fine. What I will find really interesting, now we know obviously already RSS has done a version of the new gen F1
and
car, and they did it really, really well. But of course, the car they released for this year, after, what was it, 2 days of testing in Bahrain?
Yeah, it was very soon.
Was visually bang on the money, and felt amazing to drive. I can't wait to see what they do with when we do get the new car, and then to be able to compare it to what R-Factor 2 have just brought out.
Yeah, it will be interesting.
Someone's going to port that into a set of courses.
Oh, somewhere. Surely.
Just know it.
Surely. And also, just to finish off on the Formula Pro car, R-Factor 2 also announced that they will be introducing the Formula Pro series as well.
Excellent.
So this will be along the same lines of their current GT series. It's basically a top-level open-wheel championship with over $25,000 in prize money, multiple splits. And the calendar is something to behold as well, because starting in mid to late July at Spa, then heading to Silverstone, the Nürburgring, Indianapolis, Zandvoort and Monza. So
lovely.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll have to add that to Esports Roundup of the Week, mainly so I can watch the races and listen to the cars, because it does sound excellent. I'll pass on some notes to Ben and Lewis for next week's show regarding my first thoughts of the car, because I haven't quite been able to drive it yet. Although Lewis is a bit of an R-Factor nut, so I'm assuming he'll probably get the car as well.
Oh, I have no doubt. Did we say what the last car was?
No, the last car, and this is one that's not going to be around for a little bit longer because it's still being worked on both in real life and in sim.
Quite.
So we mentioned last week they brought in the BMW DTM car. And they also mentioned during the reveal show that they were working on another BMW car. And that car is now revealed to be the 2022 BMW M4 GT3, which will be the 14th GT3 car in R-Factor 2. But yes, this car is still being worked on in real life. So the R-Factor 2 roadmap states that it's going to be a little bit of a while before we actually see it. Because, you know, you can't really make a sim version of a car that doesn't exist, although try telling that to the next-gen NASCAR guys.
Or indeed to iRacing in general, who had the prototype version. Yeah. And then upgraded it to the proper version.
Yes. But yes, so that's coming too, and that's also very exciting. And
is it really...
Yeah, R-Factor 2...
Sorry, go on.
R-Factor 2, the content it's been adding recently, it seems like it's getting more and more regular and more excellent. Yeah. Whereas R-Factor 2 was something that I was kind of not... Well, I didn't play it too often. It was kind of the sim that I kind of ignored a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get more and more into it now. And I do love how it feels, looks, drives, everything.
So. Is it really bad that I looked at Sorry, guys, this is not going to work well on radio. Is it really bad that I looked at the picture that they had in the roadmap? Now, I know that is from the handful of laps that it did in NLS because it crashed and didn't do any more. So I know that's a real shot. But is it really bad that I looked at that and thought, good God, R-Factor 2 is looking good these days?
Is it a real shot?
That's a real shot.
Is it?
It's a real shot.
See, this is the point that we're at where we don't know.
you don't get lens flares like are in the picture.
Yep, you make a point.
You don't. They don't.
It's astonishing, though, that this is the point that we're at now, where we're genuinely struggling to decide whether this is real or virtual.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But that's definitely a real shot. But it's just But you're absolutely right, and especially when you look at some of the stuff that you get from Assetto Corsa Competizione, from Boggo Standard Assetto Corsa these days, it's so hard to tell. But yeah.
And just finishing off on R-Factor news at last, there's been quite a bit. Yeah. We should also mention that it's currently the Steam Summer Sale.
It is.
So, you know, rip to everybody's wallets out there. And R-Factor 2 is in it. It is 60% off of R-Factor 2 and significant discounts off of most of their DLC packs as well. So that might be worth looking at. There are also numerous discounts on various other sim racing titles. I believe ACC is discounted again if you still haven't got it. Various Formula One games as well. Yeah, definitely worth going to have a look if you're in need of a new sim racing title. Now's probably the time to do it, and I already bought way too much. So
I've still not had a look at it's really bad. I haven't actually looked at Sebring since they've updated it. I need to go and
it's very good. It's very good. And this is me, I don't like Sebring.
Well, it's always spoken so highly of you.
To drive. Love it as a track. Hate it to drive.
Hey, respect the bumps.
That's the problem. The problem. I do respect them, but that means I just don't go back because I'm scared.
our next point of conversation, I can't even be bothered with the segue. I've thrown the segue to one side. I'm just running.
It's just running at this
headlong,
point.
Headlong at the next topic, like juggernaut through a concrete wall. Marvel reference for those people. That was Vinnie Jones, wasn't it? In the early films?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. A lot of CGI work going on there. Carrying a lot of the weight. How long ago was it we talked about motorsport games and how they were tooting their horns about NASCAR heat? It was a while ago, wasn't it?
It was about a month ago, I would say. Yeah, when they released a press statement saying that amongst the other titles they had made or been involved with the NASCAR Heat games.
Yeah. Well, NASCAR, so yeah, it all sounds very official and all very proper and yeah, great. And then NASCAR just yesterday, I think it was yesterday, probably yesterday, who knows anymore, who cares, announced an official partnership. Announced an official partnership with iRacing.
Yeah, see, this is where a lot of people are getting confused. So NASCAR Heat and the upcoming NASCAR game that's going to be produced by Motorsport Games with Studio 397, as we recently spoke about, that's still the official game of NASCAR. However, what was announced a couple of days ago was that NASCAR and iRacing have now signed a new partnership agreement, which means that iRacing is now the official simulation partner of NASCAR. Now, that might sound like we're picking at hairs, like here, simulation game. However, there is a key part of the simulation partner part of NASCAR that distinguishes it. So whilst it includes the continuation of the esports series that have been going on, so the Coca-Cola iRacing series, the Pro Invitational series, etc. What this also includes as a part of the simulation partner is that NASCAR will be heavily involved in the development of new tracks, track alterations, and cars for real life. So as we saw with the next gen car, some of the testing to do with that was done using iRacing simulations. Obviously, the recent Chicago street circuit, that was a test for real life feasibility, and it was done within the sim, that kind of thing.
Please,
the Auto Club Speedway. I think they can do a lot better if they went into a street circuit. You know, Montreal exists. You don't really have to build a new one.
The Seattle Road Course from Gran Turismo 4.
But as always, yes, absolutely. Or the New York one from Forza.
Oh,
4.
That was nice. Yeah.
But as is a wider problem in motorsport, it seems it doesn't matter the layout of a street circuit, more the location.
Bloody insurance. Miami.
Yes. And money, well, as always.
Yeah.
And another example of this, where iRacing have taken a major active role in testing for tracks is with the Bristol Dirt as well. They did a lot of feasibility testing on iRacing there, and also with the upcoming reconfigure of the Auto Club Speedway in Fontana. iRacing have actually been involved in the planning stages of how to reconfigure that into a short track. So that's what the official simulation partner really means, is that whenever NASCAR has something to test for real life, it will be done through iRacing.
I have an observation that they may have missed.
Mm.
Well, you know, at Bristol, you know how Bristol was dirt?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know how dirt kicks up?
Mm-hmm.
And you know how at Bristol, when the dirt kicked up, it kind of like stopped people being able to see.
Yeah.
How was that not picked up in the sim?
Well, I'm imagining what they meant by when they were testing with Bristol is more, you know, how the cars would feel rather than the actual.
Oh, it's always important how the cars feel as they hit the wall because the drivers can't see.
Yeah, but that wasn't much of like.
It would be the forefront. Yeah, then the dirt ran out. That would be the forefront of my considerations with, can the drivers see? It'd be like driving the circuit with your VR headset switched off.
Well, it's all well and good to joke, but you know the Bristol dirt race got renewed while they were still there, so true. Obviously the iRacing research was successful in some way.
I'm just playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, I think the problem was with NASCAR there is that yes, they didn't want to depart from the windshield thing, which was a bit of a, you know, I would imagine that when they go back next year, they might have some sort of, I believe other dirt racing categories. Lewis is probably shaking his head and eye rolling at me for not being able to speak about this properly. But I believe that they do have some kind of deflector for the dirt so that it doesn't cake windscreens and stuff like that in dirt racing. So I imagine. Okay. That if they're going to carry on with dirt racing for the next gen, they might actually look at doing something like that. But equally, what they could do is not throw cautions every 2 minutes and then allow the field to, you know, allow the field to spread out a bit so the dust doesn't become a problem. But
that's
a NASCAR thing, isn't it? But yes, so that is, yes, cool to see that NASCAR and iRacing are, you know, joining even more, even though, you know, iRacing and NASCAR have been firm partners for a long while now. It's good to see it be an official simulation partner now of NASCAR. And I think it's, again, testament to how close esports and sim racing is getting that official championships now are starting to use consumer available sims to do really specific research like this, and yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what else comes from this in the future.
I fervently hope that IndyCar and IMSA follow suit in due course. I think that would be both of them are using it for their series, so.
Mm. And I think, you know, NASCAR and iRacing's partnership has been a trailblazer for how series can, the benefits a series can get from partnering with simulation programs. And I think this is only going to succeed in my book. I can't see how this is going to fail.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, I think we will see a lot of other series going similar routes in the future.
Now, completely devoid from reality, we need to talk about F1 2021.
Yes, this is the bone of contention where I spend the next 10 minutes trying to defend something whilst Matt just hates
it. Well, no, because it's not so much that. We're about to talk about F1 2021 Breaking Point, which not that long ago was almost a team name. and I need to ask why one of the guys on this Star Wars inspired cover looks like the old captain from Red Dwarf. One of them, the lady in it, has a striking resemblance to Priti Patel. Devon Butler, really? She does. Devon Butler's there, and looking like he's just smelt something he really didn't want to. And some old dude.
Well, the one on the right, again, this works really well for a radio show. When I first saw this and saw the picture of this person on Twitter, I thought that the Codemasters had done David Croft real dirty. Like, I genuinely started to feel quite offended on behalf of him. But Codemasters have revealed yet more information about the Breaking Point story mode for the F1 2021 game. If you haven't joined us in recent shows, this is basically a new game mode for F1 2021, which is a more dramatized, story-driven campaign that will be in the game alongside the traditional career mode and traditional My Team. The way Codemasters and many people have likened it is the Drive to Survive-esque story career mode.
Oh,
for F1 2021.
Yeah. Okay.
And a lot of the so basically this round of new information is introducing the five main characters, if you will, to the game. So there's the protagonist who the player will be playing as, Aiden Jackson, who's basically a young driver trying to make his mark in Formula One. And then we've also had reintroduced Devon Butler, who's everybody's least favorite racing driver. I do quite like how the community is banded together in hatred of this person. And he's a good villain, I guess, because although he does still remind me of the antagonist-esque sort of driver from Toka Race Driver 3.
Or as he was called in our house, Robbie Cockshaw.
I was trying to think of did he had a name, but that's it from now on. Also,
nothing
revealed...
bad can be called Devon. I'm sorry, that's not acceptable.
I'm really trying to think of something, but no. I'll get back to me on that. Other characters that have
he
also
hates
been
life
revealed...
so much, he puts the jam on first.
Well, it's the jam on first.
Shit, yeah.
I don't even know. I just want to trigger you. The other people that have been announced are also an older driver called Casper Ackerman, who
no relation to the family that play at Gloucester.
Cool, I don't know that.
Oh, God's sake, you're useless. You're useless.
Also, a character will be Casper's wife for reasons. I don't know.
This is my wife? But yeah, okay.
I imagine they'll probably be a part of the career mode where this older character has to weigh up the choice to continue racing or be with his family or something like that. And then the other person is...
continue racing or remain married. Oh, dear. Bye-bye,
well,
wife.
You know, they're going for drama, and they've said that there will be a lot of off-track stuff, so I'm assuming this will be what they're going to do. I know you don't like it. Just bear with it. The final character introduced was also the team principal or figure.
Brian Doyle.
Yeah, Brian Doyle, which is a great, great manager name, isn't it?
What was
Brian Doyle.
What was the... Oh, no, it wasn't. Oh, yes, it was. That's so close. This is another Red Dwarf reference. It's so close to what Chris Barry's character was really called in, is that Series 5 episode when they, when it's all VR exercise. Oh, I'll think of it. Come back to me and I'll tell you what it is.
But yes, so that, yes, these are the main characters that you will interact with in the Breaking Point game mode. And that's all we've really had introduced so far. What I quite like, and it's also slightly cringy, but then I guess this whole game mode kind of is cool but slightly cringy, is that Codemasters have made Twitter accounts for all of these characters as well, and they are tweeting as if they are real people. Yeah, it's kind of, this is the direction that we kind of thought Breaking Point would go down. It's very much akin to, I don't remember what they called it, but the story-driven, dramatized career mode that was in FIFA. It very much feels like a direct result of the EA partnership. However, I believe that this game was in the works before the EA partnership. So,
I imagine so.
Interesting to see how much of it really is as the result of EA. But honestly, I know this isn't for you, and this isn't going to be for a lot of people. I'm interested in it just to see, because I do play campaigns and career modes in other games, or story modes in other games. I'll be interested to see how they can tackle it with Motorsport. But we have, if we compare it to real life with Drive to Survive, there's a lot of people that don't like Drive to Survive because it is highly dramatized and exaggerated. However, it's inarguable that it has brought a significant new fan base into Formula One.
Particularly in the States.
Yeah, exactly. And as we've seen, I don't know whether they've spoken about it on Midweek Motorsport, but it's really, Formula One really is having quite a boom in the United States at the moment, which is unheard of, really.
To the point where they nearly had an extra Grand Prix to counter the fact that Canada can't happen.
Yeah, and I'm quite disappointed that it hasn't happened, actually, because I really want them to go back to Indianapolis, but that's a separate point. So, I feel like this is going to be, it's Codemasters capitalizing on how well Drive to Survive has done at catering to a new audience. And I feel like it could work. Like, the casual fan is going to enjoy this a lot more than maybe they would enjoy my team. Like, even me, someone who's really into sim racing, obviously, I'm on a podcast about it, for God's sake. I don't do my team because I think it's a bit too much. Like, it's way too time consuming for me to get enjoyment out of. So, can you imagine how a more casual fan would feel about that? No, I don't think they would play that. So this seems like a good alternative. And
it's because my team kind of, the reason why I thought my team was going to be really good, because I thought it was going to bring in what used to be the old MicroProse GP manager style, Grand Prix manager style thing more. But it kind of did, but then you still had to do all the other stuff as well. So,
yeah, it's time consuming, but at the same time didn't go to the far enough points that maybe we could have expected.
It would have been a much better game if it was effectively three games in one, where you have the story-driven thing, the My Team GP Grand Prix Manager type thing, and then a just your Boggo standard year after year release of a racing game that people can just pick up and mess around with.
Yeah, and I feel like that's what, maybe if this takes off, maybe they will lean into that more for 2022, and they will make My Team more about the management, Career Mode more about the driving, this one more about the story.
I just thought of something, speaking about from 2021. Did we decide that Turkey was in the game or not?
So, no, it won't. Codemasters announced when Turkey was added for the first time that it wouldn't be in the calendar, would be as it was at the start of the current season. So it will be like adding
in. Because like Ross and Rachel, they were just on a break.
But yes, yeah, I did think as soon as the Formula One announced that Turkey is back again, this time to replace the Singapore Grand Prix, I did think someone at Codemasters is really good. Oh, come on! It's sad, but I guess at this point, it's a bit late in the day to start bringing in entire new tracks. So,
yeah,
hopefully for next year.
That character was Billy Doyle.
Billy Doyle, huh?
Billy Doyle, who was the half brother, the tramp half brother of Lister's character Sebastian Doyle, who was the the head of the secret police in a fascist state. It was also the first time we saw Dwayne Dibley, who is quite possibly one of the best characters.
Greatest character in Red Dwarf, honestly. I love Dwayne Dibley. He's great.
Thermos? Actually, sandwiches? Animal footprints chart?
I was about to say something, but actually I'm going to save it until after the show because I'm not sure whether I can say it. Let's move on.
You were going to say what comes next, weren't you?
No, I wasn't.
Mainly because
I can't remember.
Animal footprints chart and one triple strength condom. You never know.
Anyway.
It's like, no, Dwayne. No, Dwayne.
Let's move on.
Red Dwarf, for those in the States who may not know, is a bloody brilliant TV show. If you haven't watched it, get it on Netflix. It's all there.
It's the only reason I watched Coronation Street at one point as well.
I forgot he was in that.
Yeah. Oh, no, and the crossover.
It's also the only reason I watched The British Empire. Which is basically Rimmer runs a leisure centre. Assetto Corsa Competizione news now. Hotfix version 1.7.12.
Catchy.
Yes, I thought so. It wasn't quite. It's a little bit better than version 1.7.11, but not quite as awesome as version 1.7.14 is going to be.
I didn't like that joke when it started.
No, I know.
And I dislike it now.
I know. One star. Disappointing.
0 on TripAdvisor.
Oh. The waitress hit my wife with a towel. The update brings a number of changes to the game physics, UI, gameplay, and graphics. But the main this is the really cool thing. We focus on the fact that the main thing that's involved in this whole entire thing is adding the 2021 GT World Challenge liveries, which, you know, that's pretty
that
important.
That is cool, yeah.
Pretty important, because all the cars are there. So basically, this is like an annual update every couple of months, which I love. And it's literally described as, oh yeah, it's this update, and it does all this, and this. And there's a bonus content bit. Here's all the 2021 liveries for you. Oh, cheers.
You know, the main bit that we all focus on. Yeah. Bonus content, you know. Yeah. What we really care about is the physics tweaks.
Here's a little something for you. Go get yourself something nice. Mad Panda, please. I love that livery. And I just love the team name. He came up with Mad Panda as a team name. So cool. But this leads me to think that we're now going to see over the next couple of months a dirge of 2021 livery updates for the various series that ACC looks after. So probably the 2021 GT4, like the European GT4 Cup liveries, I suspect. And then we'll probably get all the British GT updates as well.
It's kind of weird, you know, for so long, ever since ACC came out, we always knew where the next DLC was going to be. Like, yeah. We knew quite early the Intercontinental GT pack and the British GT pack were going to come. We're in this weird limbo at the moment where we don't really know what's coming next for ACC other than these sort of regular, semi-regular livery updates. So I wonder how long it will be before we have confirmation of if/when we're getting new content.
Well, I'm still expecting there'll be a 2021 World Challenge Europe. I should do the whole thing, really. GT World, Fanatec GT World Challenge Europe, powered by AWS Esports Cup.
A name so memorable, you had to start it 3 times.
I did.
As you remembered another name.
I'm not being funny, but a guest who races in that damn series couldn't get it right. We love you, David. Yeah. And I forgot my point was. Oh yeah, and so hopefully that will bring in like Magni Core, would be nice.
That would be excellent.
Yeah, just bring in a couple more tracks that have been used more recently. I'm still hoping to God we'll see the Asian or the US or Asian arms of this.
Those are the obvious ones to go to, aren't they? And it would, you would think that that would be a good way to bring in some players from. you know, from different parts of the world who might not necessarily be interested in the game.
Keeps it fresh as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Because ultimately, this is the best GT simulator. I know what we said about R-Factor 2 and how many GT3 cars they've got. Fine. But that's more of a sandbox game. This is the best GT simulator that there is. End of story.
Yep, totally agree.
And
it's testament whenever we get guests on, they say exactly the same thing, be them esports or racing drivers in real life.
Yeah.
They all say that this is the best one.
And in fact, you know, I think the only thing people generally sort of, not complain, it's the wrong word, but go, oh, that was a miss, is not having the GT4 Mustang in the British GT pack. That's pretty much the only thing I sort of see.
That is the main thing that I can think about as well, and that is a massive problem in my world, because I love that car.
Multimatic are just sat there going, guys?
We're here. Hi. Hey.
Did you miss us? I suspect if they do the the American side of things, the car will.
God, I think that would be in
the car will suddenly appear. Just putting it out there. The changes that are actually in it. Balancing tweaks for the Honda NSX GT3. Still haven't driven it. Yeah. The Ferrari 488 and the Bentley Conti. And a fix for the backlight on British GT number boards.
Huh.
Well, I don't know what that means. Who knows? And a fix for Autumn Park's track map and pit entry bug.
Huh.
Is it if you're driving a Ginetta and you get near the pits, it will catch fire and stop before you get there? True story, peeps. So yeah, there's that. I mean, we keep sort of saying how much we like ACC. It is a fantastic game. Everyone who we talk to thinks it's a fantastic game. Just need more content now. It's just starting to get a little bit samey.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think it's because we've been spoiled with the knowledge that all those packs were coming. I feel like even if we didn't have it now but knew where we were going, I think that would be enough to just, you know, pacify us until it arrives.
Yeah. I think also, because I haven't actually looked at the full list of liveries that this includes. It'd be cool if it has things like the new 2C's Mercedes in it, for instance. Would be quite cool.
Yeah.
There's bound to, as we know from when the same team... their McLaren in British GT spec appeared before the British GT pack even arrived. It would be quite cool if, you know, little Easter eggy type cars just randomly appear. Who knows?
Yes, we should also mention, so that update is free and available now. And as I said earlier, Assetto Corsa Competizione only is a part of the Steam Summer Sale. It's 60% off. And all the DLC has also got discounts as well. So if you still haven't got ACC, now really is the time, basically.
I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty certain that Art of Rally and Circuit Superstars are also probably in the sale, which if you haven't tried them, my God.
Circuit Superstars is excellent. I do love that. It's currently not in the Steam sale, but it was only £13 anyway because it's early access.
Which one are we talking about?
Circuit Superstars.
Oh, Art of Rally is also only £13.
Yes. £13.64. And that is in the Steam sale, yes. Normally it's £19. So, that is another really good game.
Oh, actually, Art of Rally Deluxe, not Dulux, that's paint.
Okay. Yeah, it's the painted version.
Yeah. Is cheaper. It's $19.45 as opposed to $30.88.
Yes, but that is only the Art of Rally game and the soundtrack. The soundtrack is good.
It's not worth getting.
I'm not going to pay a deluxe edition just to get soundtrack, to be honest.
Is the original version? It won't tell me because it's in my thing already, isn't it?
Yeah, so Art of Rally on its own was £19 down to £13. The deluxe edition was £30 down to £19. So still very good.
I I've been very good. I haven't actually bought anything for a while. I'm trying to be very good at the minute. I bought the last thing I bought wasn't even a racing game. It was The Witcher 3. Yes, yeah. I've succumbed, and it's been a long time since I've played a game like that. And actually, A, it's visually incredible, especially on my rig, and it's just a damn good game. Really quite enjoying
it. I thought I was late to the night of Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and there's you only just getting The Witcher 3.
Is that any good? Well, no, I've been burnt by Assassin's Creed games.
It's still visually very good. Still doesn't quite capture the old ACC? Assassin's Creed magic.
Assassin's Creed Competizione.
That's the Ezio games. But yeah, no, it's good, but not as good as, you know, they used to be. Not sim racing, so we shouldn't talk about that now.
I was going to say, I'm old. Black Flag still my favourite.
I didn't like Black Flag. Didn't like it. Well, Syndicate's my favourite.
That's because you're wrong. Anyway, in the last 5 minutes of the show, we must do the... You're not going to join me, are you? I'm going to do this myself. Esports Roundup of the Week.
The melody changes every week.
It does. It's a service we provide. One of these days we'll get a jingle for it, but now is not that time.
No. Yes, it's all eNASCAR news, basically, this week. Two bits of eNASCAR roundups. The first being the eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing series, round 11 of which took place on Tuesday night. And the series headed to Road America for the first time, ahead of the NASCAR Cup Series debut at Road America this weekend in real life. Being a road course, it was really only ever going to be one of two drivers ever going to win, Mitchell DeJong or Bobby Zelensky, both of them being the road course ringers of the NASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series. DeJong would take his fourth pole position of the season for 23/11 racing. He's been a bit of a qualifying specialist, be it road or oval. And it was surprisingly Nick Ottinger who would beat Zelensky to take the other position on the front row, with Zelensky settling for third. All three would survive the opening lap this time. You may remember back at COTA, we were sort of denied a great battle between DeJong and Zelensky because Zelensky was spun. This time, we didn't have to worry about that. They all made it through. Ottinger would fall off the track a couple of laps later and move Zelensky up to second place. And they were sort of tantalizingly close on pace. They were trading lap times for the first few laps of the race, but soon DeJong would slowly start to stretch away. And by the end of the 31st and final lap, the gap had extended to almost 7 seconds. But being it only a 31-lap race, for the gap to only be 7 seconds, they were lapping quite closely. It's just DeJong had a bit of an edge. As a result, DeJong would take the victory and would therefore be the first repeat winner of the season. The first 10 rounds had all had 10 different winners, which was pretty astonishing. Mm. And as such, DeJong is now at the top of the standings heading into the playoffs, as he has had two wins compared to everybody else's singular wins. Zelensky would take second place, but would arguably be the sportsman of the day because DeJong ran out of fuel after the cool-down lap, so Zelensky pushed him all the way back to the start-finish line, which is quite cool to see. Third place would go to the 17 Roush Fenway car of Stephen Wilson after holding off a late charge from Graham Bolin in the number 10 Stuart Haas eSports car. Bolin himself would go off track in the last couple of laps and manage to hold on to fourth, with the top five being completed by Corey Vincent in the 3 car after similarly holding off a final lap charge from the 46 of Jimmy Marlis. It was quite entertaining. That I know before, and we'll get onto this with the next bit of eNASCAR news, the road course races can be a little dull because there's no cautions and there's usually one driver winning, but there were quite a few battles this time, so it was quite refreshing to see. But yeah, so that was the eNASCAR Coca-Cola iRacing Series. They will return on July 13th at New Hampshire. And the season's really hotting up now, as there is just 3 rounds remaining until the playoffs. Dun, dun, dun. And lastly, but not leastly, we should also briefly mention the eNASCAR iRacing International Series. Ben and Lewis mentioned this in last week's show. This is essentially a eSports series replacing the Pro Invitational Series. So it's real drivers, but it's the drivers of the International NASCAR Series. So the Wheeler Neuro Series, the Pinty's Canadian Series. I'm forgetting the other one. the Mexico series and also several members of the Tribe for Diversity program. The first round would take place at Brands Hatch Indy. We approve of the track choice. And rather fittingly, it'd be dominated by the NASCAR Whelen Euro Series drivers, with Belgium's Simon Pilat taking pole position and would be completely untouchable in the 70-lap race. He won by 26 seconds and lapped all but the top eight.
Wow.
Fellow Euro Series driver Paul Jouffreau would take second ahead of Alain Day, who kind of demonstrated the level of pace difference in the field, as he was third at the end of the race, despite having been backwards and in the barrier at Paddock Hill in the opening laps. highest placed peak Mexico Series driver would be Jake Cosio in fourth. Trayton Lapchevich, I apologize, would be the highest placed Pinty's driver in seventh, and the best finishing NASCAR driver diversity driver would be Alex de Alba in ninth. Yeah, a little bit dull because of the lack of cautions. Would like to see them maybe add that in the future to spice it up a bit, but we'll see how it goes. The next round of the NASCAR International iRacing Series, it's in that awkward spot where it happened yesterday, but we can't talk about it because there's not enough time. So Ben and Lewis will bring you a recap of that next week. And that race will have been from Circuit of the Americas. So there's one for you to look forward to next week.
And there we go. With that, another show is in the can. I've been Matt Hunter. Jordan has been exemplary as ever. And and there we go. End of the show coming directly.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, subscribe to the Simcast wherever you get your podcasts.